Now, could we turn in the scriptures to Matthew chapter 5? And we're reading now from verses 10 to 12 of this chapter. That's Matthew chapter 5. And reading from verses 10 to 12, the last of the Beatitudes. Let's hear the word of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. It is the last of the Beatitudes that we come to this morning, and the most difficult of them. Here's a text to really give us pause. Can this really be true, that those who are persecuted, those who are mistreated in this world, are in fact blessed? And therefore, we have to challenge ourselves. Do we accept the word of God? Do we believe it? The Lord Jesus obviously recognizes that of all that he has said, this is going to be the hardest one to accept. So on this occasion only, he adds some further words. The Beatitude proper we find in the words of verse 10. Very simple. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Following exactly the same pattern as the sayings, the Beatitudes that have gone before. The blessing pronounced, the people identified for the blessing, and then the reason for that blessing afterwards. But he then goes on in verses 11 and 12 to state the blessing again, to give it more detail and more emphasis. It's as though if the people are not quite sure what he has said, he is going to emphasize it again so that they are really faced with this difficult, this challenging truth. He says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Explaining more fully what he means. Blessed are they that are persecuted. He goes on, rejoice and be exceeding glad. They are blessed, he is saying. For great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Filling out in detail the second part of the Beatitude. The blessing that follows this statement. So we have this Beatitude given to us, and it comes, of course, as another mark of the true Christian. The true Christian that has been described all the way through this passage, and here now we have the true Christian described. The true Christian is persecuted. And that will be our theme for a few moments this morning. The logical connection that follows from all that has gone before is very plain and very clear. All that has gone before is to describe the Christian in his inward life of thoughts, in his outward life of conduct. Now we come to see how the world responds to the true Christian. How the world reacts to one who plainly leads this different life. And here we see the true Christian is persecuted. Firstly then, let's see the response to the true Christian. The text reads, blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then in the following verse, with a little more detail, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. The Saviour's message is plain. True believers, true Christians, must expect persecution in this life, just as the Lord Jesus himself experienced. He experienced the hatred, the hostility, the anger, the false accusation of the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of his day. The apostles who came after it, they experienced persecution, just as we were reading in Acts chapter 5, beaten for the faith, some of them martyred for the faith which they preached, which they proclaimed, just as the Old Testament prophets similarly had contended boldly for the faith. Why? Why should this reaction follow the true Christian? The reason is given here. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. Blessed are they which are persecuted for being different, for having this righteousness which the world despises. It's using the word in the exact same sense in which it's used in verse 6 in our list of Beatitudes. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. We as the people of God, we desire to live in accordance with God's law. We desire to live as God. We desire to live in holiness and in purity. The world sees some measure of that in our conduct, in our life. And what reaction comes forth? Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. You see, we are evidently different, and therefore the world responds with persecution, with anger. Do you remember, children, who was the first person in the Bible to be murdered? Do you remember? It was Abel, wasn't it? There'd been the two sons, hadn't there? Adam and Eve. They had two sons, Cain and Abel. And Cain killed his brother. And we might well ask the question, well, why did he kill his brother? Why did Cain kill Abel? And the Bible answers that question. 1 John 3:12. Because his own works were evil and his brother's righteous. That's why. Because he was evil and because his brother was righteous. And he saw that righteousness and he hated it and he despised it. And ultimately, he killed his own brother. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So let's see then a little more detail the response that comes forth. We see it opened up for us in verse 11. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you. So the response is criticism. Reviling means to criticize someone, to express contempt, to express disregard for the way that they live their lives. It's a strong word. You think of the word revulsion, to express revulsion about the way that someone lives. And that's what it's saying. The true Christian is reviled by the world. They dislike his life. They are disgusted by his principles, by what he does. They are contemptuous as they see the way that he lives. You think, for example, of when you hear someone like Richard Dawkins interviewed on the television and you hear his voice dripping with scorn, dripping with contempt for those who believe that the Bible is true. That's the persecution that we as Christians must face. You hear the comedian mocking, scorning the Bible, scorning people who believe it. And again, that is the persecution we must face. The teacher in school, the lecturer in university, who misuses their position at the head of their class to reject the Bible and to scorn the truth that is proclaimed within it. That's hard. But see that the text says, blessed are ye when men shall revile you. It's not just the faith that they revile, it's you that they revile. It's personal against yourself when your life is seen, when you are evidently different before the world. You are reviled in such circumstances. And if you're one of God's people, then you'll have known this in some measure. You'll have known the personal disdain that people have when you express your Christian faith, your Christian principles. You'll see their evident dislike for your company. And it's especially hurtful when it's those that we used to be friendly with and close with, that we used to feel we had such a bond with. And now we love the Lord and we're pursuing righteousness, we've become the Lord's people, and we feel, well, this is such a wonderful change, such a positive change. And yet we now find when we're with them, we are poles apart. That closeness which we had, we might still have some measure of it. But there's a separation has come in. And as time goes on, isn't it true that that separation just becomes greater and greater? They may still like you, but they don't like your principles. They don't like the change in you. They don't like what you now stand for. And ultimately, that separation comes between the true Christian and the people of this world. Know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? It is just what we would expect. Blessed are ye, says the Saviour, when men shall revile you. So there's that response of criticism, but it's more than that. It's a response of persecution. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you. Now this is a strong word that's used here. It has the idea of pursuit in it. That the world is pursuing us. It's not letting us alone. It's not letting us just get on with our own religion. It is hostile. It is pursuing us. It is trying to stamp out, if it can, the true Christian faith. And this is indeed what we find in the world all around us. That the Christian is treated with persecution, with hostility, with anger in this world. We see it very open and evident when the faith is proclaimed. When we take a stand on the side of the Lord, then we see the true colours of the world revealed. A Christian-run family bakery in Northern Ireland, they refused to accept an order for a cake that was going to be used to promote gay marriage. And for that, they are convicted and condemned before the courts of our country of having broken the law of the land because they will not promote evil. A clerk in America, in the state of Kentucky, has refused to issue licenses to so-called same-sex married couples, saying, quite rightly, that it is not marriage, and that she cannot possibly call that marriage which God has not called marriage. And for that, she is in prison, and she will remain in prison, say the courts, until she is removed from her position, or until she agrees to do the will of the courts of that land. You see the persecution, you see, even in our civilised Western world. Go though into those countries where the rule of law does not prevail, and we see the persecution of the world in all its violence, in all its brutality. You see Islamic State, and they'll take some of these Christians to the shores, the beach in Libya, and there we see them beheaded for their faith. You see them in China, thrown into prison. The bulldozers summoned to knock down the church building. The pastors imprisoned. The people intimidated and put into fear. The persecution which this world brings to bear, if they could, they would stamp out entirely the cause of Christ. Blessed are ye, says the Saviour, when men shall persecute you. The Saviour goes on in Luke 6:22, blessed are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. You are blessed in that situation, says the Lord, because you are so evidently my people. You are so evidently different from this world that is around you, and the world hates you and despises you for righteousness' sake. For, as we have it at the end of verse 11, my sake. It is for the Lord's sake that we are thus persecuted and despised. Specifically, one response that's emphasized here in verse 11 for us is the response of false accusation. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. And here is a very common response to the Christian church. We see it in the book of Acts. the early Christian church starting up, and we see the hostility of the Jews and how they try to hurl false accusations against it. They hurl the false accusations against the Lord Jesus Christ, claiming that he was a traitor against the Roman Empire, saying that he was setting himself up as a king of the Jews, saying that he wanted to knock down the temple. So they threw these accusations against the early Christians and proclaimed them traitors to the Jewish faith. They who were bringing forth the true fulfillment of the Jewish faith. They who were worshipping the true Jewish Messiah. We saw these false accusations continue as the Church of God spread out through the Roman Empire. They were attacked on all sides. They were accused of being, isn't it ironic, atheists. That's what they were called, the early Christians, because they rejected the Roman gods and they rejected the worship of the Roman emperor. And for that they were called atheists, those who were rejecting the worship of gods, because they said there is only one God and only one who deserves worship. And so the false accusations were hurled, and there were many who were persecuted for the faith under the cruel rule of the Roman Caesars. They were blamed, for example, for the fire which destroyed much of the city of Rome, and for that false accusation many were slain. The result was persecution. And even today, God's people face false accusations. In Muslim lands, they are called heretics, and they are persecuted as teachers of heresy, those who teach the truth. In communist lands, they are persecuted as traitors. They are called US sympathizers because they preach the gospel of Christ. And they who are the truest friends of their native lands are persecuted for the faith. These false accusations made against them. And here in our land, if we take a stand for the Christian faith, we are called bigots, we are called homophobes, we are called deniers of science. Well, the world brings its false accusations against us. It's an insidious form of attack, and it goes on and it continues as ever it has. What says the scriptures to us in the midst of persecution? Blessed are ye. And oh, that we would hear this message. Oh, that we would hear the comfort of this word addressed to us. Are you persecuted? If you're one of God's people, then you are. You know that even in your local communities, there is that hostility to those who are out and out on the side of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've known it even as a free church continuing, the kind of hostility that is brought to bear upon those who take a stand for truth and for justice. Absolutely, it's true in our wider nation that those who stand for the Christian faith today must face deep hostility and ridicule. But more than that, what about you personally? What about you as an individual? Are you persecuted for your faith? Have you experienced, for example, in the workplace or in school or in your wider family circle, the hostility that comes to those who take a clear stance on the side of the Lord Jesus? Do you know what it is to feel reviled, to feel persecuted, to feel that there are false accusations being made against you, to feel that those who you would like to feel close to are instead pushing you away and are instead despising your company and leaving you aside? If you experience this, if you've known this, then see that this itself is a mark of grace. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you know what it is to face scorn for the principles of Christ and for the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you identify yourself with the true Church of God, and you show that you have the mark of those who are truly God's people. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Blessed, blessed. You're one of the blessed ones. You're one of the true Church of God. So we've considered then, firstly, the response to the true Christian. But see, secondly then, the blessing of the true Christian. Blessed are ye says our text, rejoice and be exceeding glad, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. You are blessed, you are identified as one of the blessed ones, if indeed you are persecuted in this world. So persecuted they the prophets that went before you. You see, by being persecuted, you're connected with all that has gone before in the history of the Christian church. It's a history of persecution, and you are part of that. You are connected with those who've gone before, who've suffered for the truth, who've suffered for the faith. Many of the Old Testament prophets had to face cruelty, brutality, because they stood for truth. You remember Micaiah, who boldly told the truth to King Jehoshaphat and told him that he was going into military defeat by uniting himself with the house of King Ahab. And you remember how he was taken back to be thrown into the prison house to be fed on bread of affliction and water of affliction. But he spoke the truth, and we are joined to him in his persecution. You think of Jeremiah, cast down into the well, into the dried up cistern, there to languish, becoming more and more unwell, becoming more and more ill, because he was warning the city of Jerusalem of God's judgment coming upon them for their sins. You think of Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada the priest, murdered, slain in the courts of God's own temple, because he dared to speak the truth of God to the people of his day. Even in church history we've seen it. The history of the Christian church. John Huss boldly preaching the gospel of Christ in the city of Prague in what is now the Czech Republic. And he was burnt at the stake by the cruel authorities of the Church of Rome. William Tyndale, who produced the translation of our precious scriptures into the English language, the translation on which ultimately our authorized version is based. William Tyndale burnt at the stake in the Netherlands for his faithfulness to Christ. James Rennick preaching the gospel in the glens of Scotland, and himself executed at the Market Cross in Edinburgh. The brutality of this world, the persecution, and we in our own small way, yes, we get off very lightly, but in our own small way, if we felt some measure of hostility and persecution for the faith, we too are joined. For so persecuted they, the prophets which were before you. Hebrews chapter 11, 37. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. And in persecution we are connected to these great heroes of the faith. It is one true church of God in all generations, and it is the same church today. So therefore, you see, this blessing assures. It assures us that we are the true church. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We are God's people if we face such persecution. We are transformed. We are different from the rest of this wicked world. We are drawn out of that. We are made separate, and we are evidently separate because of the hostility and the anger of this world around us. The difference is plain, and that is what brings forth that persecution of which we speak. It's strange, isn't it, that sometimes the difference between the true Christian and the people of this world, it's more evident to those who are outside. It's more evident to the people of this world than maybe it is to ourselves. They know, they can see whose heart is still in the world, whose first love is still for the passing things of this present life, and those whose first love is the Lord and the things of God. They can see, and it is evident in their reaction to you. As the Apostle Paul teaches, 2 Corinthians 4:17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. You know, children, there was a man called Stauffenberg who was an officer in the German army during the Second World War, a very brave man. And he came up with a very dangerous plan. He realised Germany is going down to a defeat. Germany is going to be destroyed. So he made a bomb and he put it in a suitcase. And he went to meet with Hitler because he was one of Hitler's colonels in the German army. And he was going to try to kill Hitler. And he joined Hitler in the map room with the other generals who were discussing the progress of the Second World War. And he put the briefcase with the bomb under the table and left it there and went out and made his excuses and escaped. And the bomb went off and people were killed. But sadly, because of the position of the bomb, because of the table leg that it was against, Hitler himself was spared the worst of the blast and was only slightly injured. Hitler survived. And so, of course, Stauffenberg was proclaimed as a traitor. He was caught, he was captured, and he was shot. And anyone who had helped him in his plot was also shot. They were proclaimed as traitors to Germany because they had tried to kill Hitler. But you go to Germany today, and that man is proclaimed as a hero. He is regarded with great pride because they recognize he was the true friend of Germany. He was the true patriot because he was trying to kill the dictator who was leading Germany down to destruction and to utter defeat and degradation. You see what happens under the wicked, false rule of Hitler. He is a traitor. But looking at it now in a clearer perspective, we see him as a hero and as one standing for the truth. And so it is with Christians in this world. In this world we may be despised. In this world we may be regarded as fools, regarded as those who believe nonsense, regarded as those who sacrifice the pleasures of this world for an uncertain eternal future. But oh, from the perspective of eternity, how different things will look. And how different things will look for the people whose love is for the passing things of this world when seen in the light of eternity. When they look at things in the light of that world that shall never end. And if they realize we had our heaven here and now what have we to look forward to? As the Apostle Peter writes, 1 Peter 3:14, "But and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." And that's the point. We are happy if we are God's people. We are happy. Maybe not always in this present life. We can sometimes feel very sad, especially if people are rejecting our company because we are God's people. But in the eternal perspective, we are happy, truly happy, because we have the true privilege of the children of God. And that's what we need. It's the eternal perspective to see these things. And from the eternal perspective, these words make sense. Blessed are ye. And then verse 12, rejoice and be exceeding glad. The blessing gives joy, joy in eternity and joy in the eternal perspective. It's very strong language that's used. It's the same words that are used of the joy of the Philippian jailer after he'd been converted. This joy that he had in his new salvation. It's the same as the joy of Peter recorded in his epistle. Rejoicing greatly with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And the same words, rejoicing greatly, as are used here in rejoice and be exceeding glad. Same as the church in the book of Revelation, anticipating with exceeding great joy the marriage to the Lamb. It's the same joy, you see, the joy of being Christians, of being different, and of knowing that we have an eternal future. The Lord Jesus expresses it very vividly in Luke 6:23. Rejoice ye in that day, and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. Is this too much? Is it too hard to say rejoice and be exceeding glad when you're in the midst of persecution? Well, ask yourself, if you measure it by the value of heaven, if you measure it by the scale of the eternal reward to be ours, is it really too much to say rejoice and leap for joy Does it not make sense when you see it from that eternal perspective? And doesn't it make sense what we were reading in Acts chapter 5 about the joy of the apostles suffering for Christ? Verse 41, and they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You see, they were looking at things from the eternal perspective, and they could see, if it is for Christ, then it is worth it. And that joy is a sensible and a right response to the persecution, to the hostility of this passing world. So take encouragement. If this world is not your home, and if the people of this world are not your bosom companions, if your heaven is not here, if you are not one of the people of this life, take comfort. It identifies you with the true Church of God, and thus you are assured of the reality of your profession, and thus you're assured of the reality that you are different and separate. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake. So we've considered the response to the true Christian, we've considered the blessing of the true Christian. Thirdly and briefly, the reward of the true Christian. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. You see, the certainty of this kingdom, we've come full circle. We've come back again to the kingdom described in verse 3 at the beginning of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And now we've come all the way back round again after considering all these different aspects of the true Christian's conduct and life. We're back now. Blessed are they that are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's been well said that these Beatitudes are not a chain. They are a coronet. They are a crown that together, join together and describe the true Christian. They are all connected. They all link up. They all describe the same people, the same individual, the true child of God, the one whose lasting home is not in this world. And that child of God will have his reward in heaven. That's the words that are used in verse 12, your reward in heaven. It's interesting, isn't it, to talk of a reward. We don't think of the Christian life as being done for reward. It's the same word that would be used for pay, for wages, for your salary. Your reward, your salary is in heaven. Your wages for your Christian service are in heaven. We don't feel we deserve it, and of course in ourselves we don't deserve it. But you see, Christ has paid our debts. Christ has purchased for us that salvation. Therefore, Christ has obtained for us our eternal reward. And that reward is to come for the people of God. And it is the comfort that we have. In the words of the Lord Jesus, Matthew 16:27, for the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. And here is the reward described. Blessed are they which are persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That's the reward, the kingdom of heaven. Not just a place in that kingdom, not just to be there, not just to be in it, but actually to possess it, to own it, to be exalted within it. Says James chapter 1 verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Here we are despised and persecuted. Here at times perhaps we consider ourselves outcasts of society, those who are regarded as unfit for civilized company. But in the world to come, heirs of the kingdom, princes within that kingdom, possessors, co-owners of the kingdom of heaven. Think of that. Adopted into the family of God and given all the privileges of the sons and the daughters of God. This is the privilege that we have. Come, as the Apostle Peter says, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. And so then we can take to ourselves the blessing of this text, if indeed we are God's people. The true Christian is persecuted. Just as we close, a couple of thoughts of application. Measure yourself by this mark. What is the response of the world to you? Are you at home in the world? Are you at one with the people of God? If so, you have your reward. But if you recognize, this is not my place, and these are not my people, this is not where I am at home, and that they have a dislike and a disregard for your Christian principles when they are revealed, then see that you do possess this mark of grace, and that you are truly a child of God. And if so, take to yourself the hope, the comfort of this beatitude. Blessed are ye. Rejoice. Leap for joy. You see, it is his word, and it is his blessing that is pronounced. So, take that comfort, that encouragement, and receive it for yourself as a message from God, as strength, as grace, to encourage you along the way. But if you are not one of God's people, if you can't measure yourself as having this mark, then receive the warning of it. Receive the warning that if you don't have this mark, that you're not one of God's people. Cursed are they who are not persecuted, who are not reviled, who are not despised, who are not falsely accused in this present life. Cursed are they. They have their heaven here. Says the word of God in Scripture, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. And if you are tempted with the love of this present world, then see things from an eternal perspective and see the folly of loving this world which passes away. What says the Lord to you? Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Oh, may God enable each one of us to respond to the call of God and his gospel.